Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I'm joined by the great James Lynch, Mr. Lynch on Sports, my former co-host of the Parting Shot Podcast, a longtime writer here and podcaster here at MAOddsBreaker.com. Wanted to bring James on. I mean, it's kind of a crazy time in MMA, so me and James, you know, we're good friends, and definitely wanted to get him on to catch up and also talk shop. So, James, man, great to have you on, dude. How's everything going, man?
Everything's going great, man. I got to thank you for bringing me on here. It's great to be back. Nothing but positive vibes when we were doing the show. It was it's cool to be back, man. I love that we get to talk about this all the crazy stuff that's going on right now in MMA. And I love MMA Oddsbreaker. Obviously, they were the outlet that gave me my start. So it's great to be here.
Oh, dude, and we love you too, man, obviously, but you know, you're doing great things over at the Score. I'll get you to plug your stuff at the end, James. Same with myself. I want to know what you're up to, but yeah, I mean, like, first off, like, I just want to start with you. I mean, you're obviously doing great things right now. Just how's everything going as far as the job and stuff goes, the Score?
It's good. You know, I'm really lucky in the sense that, you know, I'm actually busier, I think, than normal because without any news, they want us doing more features. And I just posted one today. You can look at it on thescore.com on the four biggest UFC career comebacks. So, you know, looking at like Robbie Lawler, Matt Serra. So we're doing more like feature articles. So I'm having to do that on top of all the video content I'm putting on the site. So it's been good. Like I certainly like being busy, and I wasn't really worried when this happened, like unless the Score decided to like cut my hours or anything, but just because I knew I'd have fighters that I could talk to, and there's a lot of different things you can discuss. So I'm super fortunate, super lucky, and still glad that people even want to tune in and watch my stuff during this time. So it's been great, man. Like, honestly, zero complaints.
That's good, man. Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy time, James, obviously. Like, I don't think any of us expected it to be like this much of a break. You know, I was thinking at first, you know, this is not a big deal, and then maybe a few weeks. Now it's going to be a few months probably, James, before things get back to normal. But, you know, like you, lucky you still have employment, because I know a lot of people obviously are out of work. But if they are at work, they're probably watching the show right now, so that's good. Let's get right into it, James. Let's start with UFC 249, James, because obviously this event, like the last few events, is really up in the air at this point. James, Dana White's been so adamant this event's going to happen, man. And the whole time I've been sitting here chuckling, like, this guy is nuts. Are you kidding me? There's no other professional sports league that's playing right now. The UFC is so adamant they want to do it. Now we have Khabib Nurmagomedov. He's stuck in Russia. There's a chance he could fly back on a private plane. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, the whole time Dana White was telling all reporters, like, I know the location and the fight's going to go on. And now we're hearing Khabib probably won't take the fight. And there's not really a location anyways. It's just a mess, James. It's a complete mess. So the first thing I want to talk about is, and I saw your video the other day and I agreed with everything you're saying. So do you think this event will happen April 18th?
No, I don't. I don't know how, like, and I don't know if are people like not watching the news, like, there's travel restrictions. Like, people can't, like, a lot of these states are on lockdown. And the thing that people don't talk about, and I don't understand this, you don't just have the fighters that have to get there. You have the medical staff, you have the commission, you have the people who set up the cage, which is like a lot of people. You have the broadcasters, the people who actually, you know, have to get all the cameras in the arena. Like, there's no way this is going to happen in a couple weeks because of, like, you have to get all those people in one area. Then you have to get all the equipment out there. Like, it's not like business as usual. And I know we're only a few weeks away. It's going to be what, 2 weeks to Saturday. It's not happening. Yeah. Like, if it does, I'll be very surprised, but I don't know why you'd want to see a card like this anyways, when, you know, you're getting fighters not being optimal. They're not having proper training camps. Go watch any of the podcasts I've done recently. Any of the interviews I've done. These fighters are not training properly. So why do you want to watch a subpar product anyways, just because you're bored? Go on Fight Pass.
Seriously, I know that obviously we're all in the same situation right now, James, where there's not as much to do, obviously. But at the same time, like, to me, there's other things you can do for entertainment. Go play some video games. Go binge watch some TV. You really want these fighters to go and, like, risk their lives. They're going to risk their lives if they fight, James. Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, man, but, like, I'm barely leaving my house. Like, I'm only leaving for, like, groceries, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be absolutely afraid to play a sport right now. You know what I mean? Because the likelihood of transmission is high. I mean, I know these guys will be tested, obviously, but I still think it's too risky, James. So when a guy like, let's get into Khabib right now. When a guy like Khabib says, you know, I'm in Russia, I don't think I can get there, and right now the coronavirus is extremely dangerous, and, like, I'm worried about my family. And for MMA fans, like, there's so many fans, James, that have gone after him, and Dana White, and now Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor, calling him a chicken, saying he's scared. It makes me sick, dude.
Yeah, it's stupid. And the problem too is, like, and you just said it, like, you know me, I'm the biggest fan of trash talk. I love fighters that promote themselves, but Tony and Connor are doing no one any favors during this period, calling Khabib scared. You're only going to egg on those idiot fans who already have this conspiracy theory that Khabib's too scared to fight or doesn't want to fight. Listen, if you've never fought before, don't ever accuse a fighter of being scared, because it takes something special to go in there. I mean, Adam, you've fought, like, you know what it's like to step into the cage, into the ring, whatever. And it's like this idea that these fighters are scared. Like, stop. Like, I see all this stuff on my channel. Like, I get people saying, oh, Khabib was scared to fight. Like, look, if watch the timeline, Khabib outlines it pretty clearly here. He went to Russia because the UFC was trying to do a card in Abu Dhabi. So that's where they wanted to do the location. It's unfortunate that they ended up locking down the country and now he can't leave. Like, all these, like, there's people who are like in denial that like people in Russia can leave the country. They can't. Go read the news. Do you guys not read? Like, what is going on here? It's crazy. So this whole idea of like these fighters are choosing not to fight. And let's say Khabib could fly. Let's say he could go wherever. Like, he doesn't have to fight. Like, there's a pandemic going on here. He can't train properly. If he didn't want to fight, who cares? It doesn't mean he's scared. It means he's smart. He doesn't want to get sick. Like, there's people dying from this. You know, it's, you can't. And I know people are like, oh, well, it's only old people. It's not. I mean, go look at some of the stats. There was a girl yesterday in Toronto, I think, who died. She's 32 years old, perfectly healthy. Yeah. So I just don't see the need to risk this, especially for the entertainment of people who just, you know, it's need to find something better to do. So I've been very disappointed by that. Again, I'm a fan of trash talk, but I just think that like Connor and Tony going this route just looks dumb at this point.
Yeah, it pissed me off, especially with Connor, because honestly, James, he's been like really being great lately, as far as, you know, spreading the message of being vigilant, washing your hands, being careful, both social distancing and stuff. And then for him to go and call and be a chicken again, we know, James, it's part of the game, right? The trash talking. But right now, I feel like there should be a break put on that. Like, there's no point of it, because first off, you can't fight anyways right now. And second off, like, there's bigger things in the world. James, every day I look on the news and thousands of more people are dying from this shit. Like, this thing is around the spreading quick and people are dying. Dude, I'll be honest, James, I was not worried about it like a month ago, man. I was like, this is nothing. Like, I'm scared now, straight up. Like, I don't want to get this stuff because, like, I feel like just because I'm 31 years old doesn't mean I can't risk it. I know with you, like, you obviously have a young kid at home and your parents are, you know, getting a little bit older now. So I'm sure you're worried yourself, right? I can't imagine a fighter having the stress of being worried about this, training with nobody, training by themselves, essentially, with like maybe one other partner or coach, and then having to fly from Russia to the United States during a time like this where I feel like traveling is like, I would not want to be on a plane right now.
100%. Yeah. For James,
like I'm 100% the same way. I'm so disappointed. And these fans, they call themselves fans. Like, if you're bashing Khabib saying he's scared, the guy is like one of the best fighters of all time. He's scared. It honestly bothers me a lot, man.
No. And I completely agree. And the other thing you got to look at, like, I can't go, like, I always get my gas in the States. I live like 5 minutes away from the Washington state border, 'cause it's cheaper. I think I mentioned this many times and people are always sick of it, but no, if I go down now, if I was to go down to the States, even like 5 minutes away, I would have to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. I can't go across the border right now. So that's the other thing people aren't looking at. Let's say Khabib was able to go. Then he's stuck. He can't see his family. Is that fair to him? Like it's dumb. So, I just think it's just a case of like, fans being uneducated, fans being impatient, fans wanting to see things. And then it doesn't help when Dana White's saying, this is going to happen. We've got locations. Like, there's no reason to. The big elephant in the room that Dana White's not addressing and what he should be doing is what every other league is doing. Well, I guess not every other league is. The big elephant is they should just compensate these fighters, but they won't do it. I know they did for the London card. Give them credit for that. But, you know, there was two other cards that were canceled. That's the issue is that, like, I do understand, like, I'm sympathetic towards the fighters because they need a paycheck, because guess what? NBA players are at home right now. They're still collecting the paycheck. In the UFC, they're not. They have to fight. So I don't know if there's a way they could figure that. Like, here's my thing. Like, if you can afford to send these fighters, you know, trifecta meals, you can't throw in a couple extra bucks for them to just survive right now. Like, that I don't understand. And yes, we could do a whole podcast on like unions and all that stuff, but I think it's really just like coming to light that it seems to me like the UFC is desperate to put on events because it seems like they need the money. Because I don't understand any other reason why, especially now with Khabib 100% not fighting, why are you forcing a card to happen that doesn't need to happen?
Man, I agree with 100% everything you said, James. That's why I love getting you on the show, man. Because like we do disagree stuff, but when we agree, we like really agree. In this case,
agreed.
100%. Well, the thing is, like, the bothers me, James, is like you're just throwing a card together for the sake of throwing a card together at this point. Like, there's the only matchup I think that is still intact is Andrade and Namin Yunus. Like, every other fight, Dana White said it's going to be a completely different card. You're going to have guys like Nagano and Rosenstruck on this card, apparently. Why can't they just pay them their show money for the Columbus card that was canceled, James?
Exactly.
They have money. The UFC was just bought, a couple of years ago, $4.2 billion or something. The owners, I know that there's these reports now coming out that they're in trouble, like, financially, and I understand that, but You got to pay your athletes. Look at the other sports leagues, James. Imagine the NHL was like, we're not paying our athletes. Like, imagine the pushback from the media. But in MMA, people are so scared, James, to go and talk up about Dana. I've watched every Dana White interview in the last 2 weeks since he's been doing the rounds. The amount of, like, softball questions, James, that no one asked him. No one asked him, are you paying the fighters that were fighting that got canceled? The cards got canceled. No one asked him that question. I was like, really, guys? Like, that's my first question. Because I know you're the same way as me, James. The fighters come first. Without the fighters, me and you would not have a job, James, with the fighters. I feel like Dana White looks at these guys so replaceable. So he's like, whatever, I'll just cut them and find someone new.
Well, they were even willing to do that. Remember that one card they were trying to do, the London card? They were like, hey, if you're a fighter, not even in the UFC, we'll take you. Like, that's a slap in the face to everyone on the roster.
I know. And I saw a lot of guys, like guys, you know, the regional scene, like LFA guys, they're like, hey, this is my shot to get in the UFC. A guy like Ben Saunders. Ben Saunders is like, hey, I just got cut. I'll get a fighter short notice to get back in the UFC. And, you know, I do respect that, James. But it just goes to the bigger problem of the sport of fighter pay. We know how low it is compared to other sports. Like, guys in the NBA, James, are just chilling at home right now, collecting millions of dollars, literally. Mm-hmm. They don't have to work, right, and get paid. But the UFC, these guys are non-guaranteed contracts. They have to fight to get paid. It's a sad thing. I feel like if Dana was like, you know what, the next, like, three or four cards, like, I'm saying, like, the London card, which what they did to compensate them for, which is good. But the Columbus and Portland cards, they should have said, you know what, these guys, we're going to can't these cards got canceled. We're going to have to pay these guys. The Brooklyn card as well. And then for maybe May and June, you don't, you're like, hey, we'll just postpone these ones. But these ones right now, James, like, they should have got some compensation. Like, don't even give them their win bonus, too. Just give them their show money, their Reebok money you could give them, too. Like, Reebok's already paid them the money. Why aren't they giving them the Reebok money? That's a lot of money, James. But still, like, $5,000 for a fighter right now, or $2,000, like, even for the low-tier guys, like, they need that money. There was a guy on the London card, this guy, Geraldo De Freitas. He's, like, an undercarder, and he's like, I don't want to fight because I'm scared of catching it, but I need to fight to pay for my food for my family. Like, it just speaks to a bigger problem in this sport. And I know you agree with me on that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And just to be clear too, like, you know, Adam and I are not, like, if you follow either of us on Twitter, like, we're, you know, we're obviously, like, saying, you know, this event shouldn't happen. I mean, I did a video on this as well, but, like, if you follow both of us, we're not generally that negative towards the UFC, but I think this is something where we do need to speak out because, you know, a lot of the media gets accused of being very negative all the time. And, you know, there are certain journalists that do that, and you can tell their agenda from the, you know, the get-go is, you know, everything Dana White does is terrible. Like, I get that. But, like, honestly, we're both coming from a place of, like, this is just better for everyone. Postpone these fights. Like, don't get Tony to fight Justin Gaethje. Let's save the Khabib fight. It could still happen if you just take some time. If they organize this properly, you know, people saying it's cursed, whatever. Like, if it still ends up happening, which I believe it can, I think you just have to be smart about this and not, you know, try and force something that just doesn't need to happen. But we're just looking out for everyone here. Like, if I can't even go visit my grandparents right now because of the, you know, risk of, like, getting them sick, like, why should these fighters be allowed to fight? It's crazy. So you just have to, I don't know. I just think we all got to be smart about this thing and just be, very, very, very proactive about it. But I'm with you. I don't think this happens.
No, I'm with you, James. And, you know, I'll be honest, like, if it does happen, James, obviously I'm going to watch the card. And I know you're going to watch it too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel like we can both say, hey, we just think it's in the better interest of everyone. Like, it hurts me, James, as a freelancer. I want this card to happen because I only get paid when there's fights. And I, you know, for you, it's a little different. But for me, James, like, I need this card to happen. But at the same time, I don't want it to happen because it's just too dangerous. And I really do care about the fighters. Like, I've always cared about the fighters, man. I know you're the same way, James.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
I care about the fighters probably more than anyone, man. Like, I see, you know, the way they respect you, James, when you're doing interviews, they appreciate you because you're genuine and you care about them. Dana White looks at these guys as, like, numbers, man. It reminds me of, like, university students. They just want someone to fill the room. That's all it is. They don't care about their – I don't believe that Dana White cares about the health and safety of the fighters. I do not believe that for a second. If he did, he would say, we're postponing all these events. The NBA, the MLB, the NHL, all these big leagues – these leagues that the UFC and the Dana White for years have been trying to become on that level. They're all postponing their leagues. They didn't cancel, they just postponed them. Why can't the UFC do the same thing? And, you know, Dana White, I feel like he's still stuck in this old mode of, like, the early days of the UFC, James, where he's just trying to prove himself to everyone. It's like, UFC's already proven, man. It's a great sport. It's a great promotion. You don't need to, like, be doing this. Like, he's always a fighter, and you got to respect about Dana because the sport would not be where it is without Dana. And, you know, this guy is he's arguably the most important person ever in the sport, James, for sure. But at the same time, like, there's not everything he's going to do that I agree with. In this case, being so adamant, and I want to talk about Dana for a second, James, because he's been so negative towards the media. It's like, who pissed in his Cheerios? Like, which reporter did, James? Because, like, he hates us for some reason, man. Like, what did we do? We're reporting the news, and he's so angry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think he's, so I can understand Dana being upset because, I mean, there's reporters, and we don't need to mention any names, that literally anything the UFC does, it's completely negative. And there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose, because, like, you know, it's our job to be objective, to look at things from a different angle. But, like, you know, Dana White could do something positive. There are certain journalists that will go out there and, you know, say, you know, that it was, they can find something negative about that. It's sort of an example. And I get that. I mean, I get tired of it too. I mean, there are certain reporters that every day it's like, you know, telling people what to do or saying we have to do this or whatever. Like it gets tiring. But so I think Dana was more referring to people like that as opposed to just the regular people that cover this. So like, I remember when he said that, like, I didn't get that offended because I know kind of who he was talking about, because there are people that, like, the UFC could do anything and, you know, they're going to say, oh, that this shouldn't happen, or I'm going to boycott this or whatever. Like, you know, and people within their right to have that opinion. But I didn't take offense to it because I kind of knew where he was coming from. And I think that, yeah, it's just, unfortunately, it's just like right now, a lot of people, like pretty much I'd say the majority of media is for getting rid of these cards. So I think that's where people kind of felt like he was targeting us. But when I saw that, I was kind of thinking like, no, he's talking more about like the people who just have an issue with everything the UFC does. So that's kind of what fair I thought, enough. But doesn't make it right for him to say that. That's what I'm getting.
No, fair enough. Okay. So I want to talk about this really quickly, but you did mention a possible Justin Gaethje, Tony Ferguson fight. James, I love this matchup on paper, but I don't want to see it on 2 weeks' notice. I want these guys to get a full 3-month training camp. And I know you're probably the same, right?
I don't want to see it, period, because I don't think Tony should have to fight Justin Gaethje. And right, you could pay him all the money in the world. You could throw an interim title in there. If I'm Tony, do I want to fight for an interim title when I already won an interim title and they strip me for absolutely no reason? Like, there's no upside for Tony Ferguson to take this fight. I'd put like 98% that Tony Ferguson doesn't fight on the 18th, because I just don't see what he gains from this. And if the UFC wants to play hardball and say like, well, if you don't do this, you're cut. Like, I'd leave then. I'd go to Bellator. I'd go do whatever. Like, if the UFC is going to be dumb and force him to fight someone when it's just not needed. Because here's the thing that people forget. Tony Ferguson is on a 12-fight win streak. Khabib Nurmagomedov is also on a 12-fight win streak in the UFC. So like, this is a fight that just like, you can't give me like, you know, like a cheap, you know, steak from the, you know, grocery store, as opposed to like, you know, the keg. Not to say that's what Ferguson and Gaethje is, but to a certain degree it is, because it's on 2 weeks' notice. These guys aren't optimally training. Like, why can't we just wait out for something better? And that's sort of what I'm seeing here. And I just, like, the second I heard rumors about that, it's just like people saying Gaethje's going to fight McGregor. I don't ever see that fight happening either, because like, what's in it for McGregor? There's no belt. It's not going to be a huge payday, because like, we love Justin Gaethje. Everyone on Twitter knows who Justin Gaethje is. If I go to the grocery store right now and I ask 30 people who Justin Gaethje is, no one's going to have an answer. But if I say Conor McGregor or even Cowboy Cerrone, I bet like one or two people would know. Gaethje just doesn't hold that name value outside of the hardcore fan base. So I just don't see that fight being a realistic possibility. And I love Justin Gaethje, and I think he deserves the next title shot over Conor. I want to be clear about that. But I just don't see that being like a great option for Tony Ferguson. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you're 100% right. Like, I agree with everything you said. Tony's already fought for interim belt and they took it away from James. So what's the benefit? What's the reward? Like, really, they're just going to strip him again, or not strip him, but like, he's going to have to fight for the real belt. There's no point. You're just creating another title. I did see some people saying to strip Khabib. Anyone who says that is an idiot, and I don't even want to talk to them, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The guy does not deserve to be stripped. Why can't this fight wait till September? Like, I'm one of these people. I'm like you, James. Like, I have no problem. Like, this is not like this fight, these guys got injured. If someone got hurt again, I would be like, you know what? Maybe this fight just can't happen. But this is not someone getting hurt. This is a global pandemic. It's no one's fault. Right, let's get some questions here, James. Got a bunch of comments here.
Awesome.
Montgomery Whitmore, two great reporters, even better as a team. Thanks for the special broadcast. Oh, no worries, man. I know James likes that comment too. Really appreciate it. Definitely love doing it, James. Marcus Williams.
What's up, Marcus? Our buddy Marcus. Yeah. Good to hear from you, Marcus.
I need this duo back together doing MMA shows. What are your thoughts on Tony Ferguson's comments about Khabib during his ESPN interview with Ariel? We did address this briefly at the top of the show, but just really disappointed, James. I mean, that's pretty much all I was going to say. You know, and I know.
By the way, don't mean to interrupt you. You know, you can put the questions on the air. I just discovered this recently. If you click on the chat window and you actually press the comment, it comes up.
Did you
know?
There we go.
I know, it's a game changer. Lucas Grandsire told me about this. I've been using it for forever now. But first off, yeah, Marcus, great to hear from you, man. Marcus is great. We met in Vegas, I think it was last year, year before. I can't remember, but I know business has been a little slow for him. So if you guys are in the area, definitely go check out Marcus's bookstore. But I saw it. It's disappointing. I think that's where, you know, as a reporter, Ariel needs to step in and say, look, what do you think about Khabib not being able to get out of Russia? What do you think about Khabib, going to Russia with the intent of, you know, hoping to fight in Abu Dhabi? He didn't, as far as I could tell, he didn't say those questions. He might have, and maybe I missed it, but like, that's where you have to step in and counteract, because otherwise you're just, and I know what they're trying to do. They want to get the soundbite that Tony says Khabib's scared, and boom, it blows up and it goes everywhere. I get that. But if you're a journalist, you got to ask like the questions of like, hey, what about this? Like, you know, so that's kind of where I was a bit disappointed with that interview, because like, that's the reality. And we're living in a fantasy world the way that interview was done. Right.
Oh, 100%. So. You know, Ariel, like he's obviously one, like probably the best reporter the sport's ever seen, but at the same time, he's kind of an extension of the UFC a little bit, because he does work for ESPN, James. So to me, like, there's some bias there. They need these guys to like talk smack with each other. But to me, it's like, there's bigger things right now to worry about. Let's just keep going. I love this thing. By the way, thanks, James. I appreciate that.
I know. There you go. Just not talking fights. We're bringing the...
I want today, guys. This is exactly why I got him on.
Yeah.
Cameron Miller, classic crew. It is, man.
Right. He's an OG.
Montgomery Whitmore, event's not happening. That's 249. We agree. Okay, here's a question. Daniel Edwards, they paid Molly May Cantley. She poses something they suggested.
They did. The London fighters apparently got paid. So I did read that on MMA Fighting, which is great. And that's the absolutely right thing they should do.
Yeah, I think Marvin Vittori said so, and Mike Grundy. So they did pay them. This is Russia. I obviously don't speak Russian. If you want to write that in English, we'll...
You might have called us a bad name. We have no idea.
Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. John and Co. Great work, guys. Appreciate you.
Kumite TV. Guys, go check it out. John just did an interview with Volkanovski and Dan Hooker recently. So
John does great work. I mean, you know, it's always nice to see like really good reporters emerge on the scene. James, he's doing a great job. So
he grinds. Yeah, I love it.
I know that you guys are good friends as well. Chris Ludford. Hey, Adam, how can you organize a union or a fighters association when 75% of the fighters don't want one? Okay, so definitely this is a question for me and James to chime in on. Chris, you're right. I do agree that most fighters do not want one. I think a lot of fighters are extremely uneducated about this kind of thing. I think it's a good thing for the fighters. The problem is a guy like Conor McGregor sees no benefit from this. That's the biggest problem. The sport needs an overhaul, though, for sure. Like these other sports leagues, James, like we said, NBA, NHL, NFL, MLB. James, what's the common denominator? They have unions protecting their athletes. They don't have that. Mm-hmm. We need this. But at the same time, I do agree with what you said. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I just think you need like a Conor McGregor or someone to actually do it. And the reason the fighters don't want to do this is the truth, is because they're worried about being blackballed. Like if they do that, then you're going to be known as that. Like look how quickly like Leslie Smith was out of the UFC because she spoke up. So that's sort of the reason. They don't want to be blackballed and, you know, taken out of the industry. Cajun Johnson, same thing. Cajun, whatever, however he says it now. Same sort of thing. So that's why those fighters are no longer in the UFC. The UFC is too powerful right now. So they can't, even if all the fighters tomorrow said we're not fighting, they'd get a bunch of contender series fighters in the UFC instead. That's just, they have too much of a stranglehold, unfortunately.
It's true. He's right. At Montgomery Whitmore, MMA is a selfish sport. It 100% is, man. It is an
individual. The fans are selfish. And maybe, you know, even from the top, too. I think that some fans can be selfish, and say all, but some can be selfish. And Dana White's being selfish at this point, trying to do this event, in my opinion. He's not putting the health first of the fighters.
Yep. Chris Ludford, Dana's still paying fighters $10,000 to fight. Why don't every other MMA person, i.e. Bellator, pay five times more to entice fighters? I still feel like the UFC pays the most out of any promotion, right? Like
they do. Yeah.
You guys got to see how bad, like James used to interview guys in the regional scene. Doesn't do as much anymore. James, tell them how much these guys are making. Like some of them are making like hundreds, like
$500, $100. Like it's not, maybe not 100, but like, yeah, it's really low. And you guys have to remember that Bellator and the UFC have different models. So Bellator does pay sort of their top tier talent, like top notch dollar, like a Ryan Bader or Gegard Mousasi or anyone like that. But how their model is, it's different. A lot of people I'm sure know this, but I'll just repeat it. Like when they do cards, like the main card and even some of the undercard is like roster fighters. So fighters that are on like multiple fight contracts, like a Mousasi, like a Sergio Pettis, whoever. Their undercards though are all local fighters. So if they go to St. Louis or they go to Missouri, for example, they'll grab a bunch of Shamrock FC fighters, put them on the undercard. You know, they go to California, they're going to have a bunch of local California fighters fighting on the card. That's why, you know, like James Terry, remember Adam, the guy who did the call out in Strikeforce that used to be on our old intro, like he fights on every California card they have because he's a local guy. Is he like a top-notch Bellator fighter? No, but he's a guy that they can put on there. He'll sell some tickets. So the model's a little bit different. I mean, there are certain fighters that are thriving and making lots of money in Bellator, but there's some that aren't. And as far as paying the fighters more, like it's all about viewership. Like that's why Bellator let Rory McDonald walk. Like I don't think they got a good return on Rory because I don't think people, you know, he's not a draw as he used to be. And I can attest to this. I mean, even interviews I do with Rory, the views aren't what they used to be. And so I think that's why, like, it's got to be something that's going to bring in viewers for them. And it's also got to be, you know, it's got to make sense for them too. Like you're not like people, like here's a quick example. Like just to give you guys kind of an idea of this. Okay. Elias Theodoro, right? Like he got cut from the UFC, and I know he's popular on social media, and I know he does the ring card stuff, you know, for Invicta. But like, you know, people are like, I can't believe you're not signed. Well, I can understand it. He probably wants a lot of money, which I don't blame him. He's in the UFC, but is he a draw? Is he someone that fans are dying to see fight with his fight style? I'd say probably not. And that's no offense to Elias. I think he knows this. A lot of his fights do go the decision, but that's why a guy like him isn't getting picked up by Bellator, because there's really no incentive. How many eyeballs do you think he's going to bring? So to answer Chris's question, why not entice, you know, someone like Elias, pay him a little bit more? They're not going to get a good return on it. It has to be something that gives them a good return. And I just think you have to look at sort of the viewership aspect of it.
Yeah, there's got to be upside. And that's why they're, I think, targeting big fish like Ryan Bader, like Gegard Mousasi, guys like that. It's a shame that card got moved, by the way. I was really looking forward to seeing that card, James. With the double
Nemkov, that would have been a good fight, yeah.
That would be a great fight, yeah. I've been so impressed with Ryan Bader and Bellator. He's looked incredible. And obviously, Mousasi Lima is going to be good. But you know what? Credit to Bellator, man. They actually got in front of this, James. They were like, we're going to postpone these cards. There was like no standard butts, and you got to give Scott Coker credit. I know the guys weighed in. I don't like that they have to weigh in before they cancel that card, but at the same time, they did end up paying these guys at least their show money, if I'm not mistaken, and obviously helps them out. So you got to give them credit. Chris Ludd for another question here. Isn't Bellator, Viacom, Richard, WME, IMG?
I think to a certain degree they are. By the way, you missed a question before that about Ashley Evans Smith.
I did.
Okay, yeah.
Don't mention athleticism. Ashley,
I mean, this has sort of been talked about, hasn't it? Right, like that length. Like she shouldn't have done what she did. I mean, there's no arguing about it. I think her interview with Ariel. Go look at that interview, by the way. Yeah. I think there's more dislikes than likes on it. But yeah, just a bad look overall. I don't know what she's doing, trying to take supplies. Like, yeah, even if it was left out, like you just don't take that. She doesn't need it. Unless she specifically said that, oh, I saw it and I was going to give it to people, and you saw proof of that. Like her first stop should not be dropping off that dresser. It should be dropping off those masks, if that was really your intent. So I don't buy that she was using it for something else. I saw her as being greedy and taking advantage of something. So yeah, she came across bad, but yeah, it is what it is.
She dates the dumbest guys too. Like, remember that one guy with all those tattoos that he was like, that dude, I think he beat her up, you know, James, like, and now this other guy steals some masks off the porch. She's got to choose better boyfriends, man. It's sad, but it is what it is. You know, a lot of people make that mistake. It is what it is. I don't want to talk about someone's personal life, but in this case, it didn't bother me that she or her boyfriend stole the mask, and then they were kind of saying like, oh, we thought they were for free. But anyways, I don't want to talk about that. Let's go back to some stuff from my list here, James.
Yeah,
we'll get to questions later.
Sure.
So, like I mentioned, the Bellator cards got canceled. Three of their cards. UFC San Diego has been canceled, James.
I saw that.
Dustin Poirier. Makes sense. I mean, these guys want to fight. That was a great fight, but makes sense. UFC 250. Now, this is something to talk about. So Felicia Spencer and Amanda Nunes, they both want the card moved to Florida, which is near their homes and where they train. Florida did hold an event a few weeks ago called Combat Night with Nick Roerich, former UFC fighter.
Donald, yeah, he got cut because he got busted for steroids. Remember, he lost to Jared Cannonier in his debut.
Right. That's right. And he did test positive. He's Dominic Reyes' training partner. So they did have that event. And from what I saw, it was like a minimal amount of people in the show. And that's, I guess, why the UFC's targeting Florida. But to me, James, like, this card needs to be canceled too. Like, how is Jose Aldo? He's not even training properly. He's training with his wife right now. Literally, he's training with his wife, James. Do you really want to see him fight Henry Cejudo in this state?
No, and I don't want to see Amanda Nunes fight Felicia Spencer's got the biggest fight of her career, and she's being limited. Like, why on earth would you want to fight? Like, if that, I guess she's worried that if she says no, then the UFC is going to say, okay, well, then we're going to get Megan Anderson or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just, all these cards should be canceled or postponed. And that's one thing, by the way, we haven't talked about, and I want to quickly mention this. Like, they should try and keep these fights just like postpone them. Like, Rosen Andrade is a great fight. Like, I haven't heard anything about that fight. Like, keep that fight intact if you can. Keep these fights. Like, don't switch these up because of timing, unless someone's injured, of course. But like, I really feel like they should try and just shift everything the way it is. And then I think, honestly, like, if the UFC wants to make up ground, they might have to just, like, when they come back, just double up on cards every, like, they might have to do like two cards a week or something, which I don't mind. But because I'm just thinking of the fighters here, because here's the bad thing, Adam, like, they're postponing all these cards. When they get back to scheduled events, like when everything's back to normal, they're then going to have to take those fighters that were already scheduled to fight there. And then the people who weren't even fighting are delayed even more, which they've got to figure that out. So there's a lot of red tape. But like I said, first and foremost, it's about the health and safety of the fighters.
No, I agree 100% on that one. UFC 251, your girl Valentina Shevchenko.
Not fighting, injured. Broken leg or something.
She's hurt, so that fight with Joanne Calderwood, which, honestly, James, like, she was a massive favorite to win that fight anyways. Like, she was going to destroy her. So I didn't even really care about that fight. But the other fight between Volkanovski and Holloway, Volkanovski says he's not fighting this card now. He wants he basically doesn't think it's worth the risk, and he's still healing up his broken hand. And also, he believes that card in Perth is going to be canceled, UFC 251. At this point, with both title fights being lost on the card, you'd assume that that card gets scratched as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think any of these events are going to happen, because I just think they're going to, I think they're going to see on the 18th that it's going to be impossible. I mean, maybe they pull this off, but I just don't know who's going to be on that card and whatever. But I really feel like they're just not going to, I think things are going to get worse before they're going to get better. And I don't mean to be glass half empty here, but just from everything I'm hearing, like, you're just seeing how rapidly the cases are coming up in the US. I just see it being too much of a risk, and the government's going to have to step in, and it's not even going to be, Dana White's friendship with Trump isn't going to be able to triumph what, you know, the local government's going to do. They're going to say, no, you can't come here. Like, if I can't even go to, you know, like a coffee shop, why the hell should they be allowed to host an event? It's crazy.
And you got to feel bad for some of these guys. Like, okay, I'll give you an example, James. Jan Kutalaba, right? He's from Moldova. He flew all the way to Las Vegas to train at the PI, and it closed down. So he's chilling by himself in Vegas right now with minimal training partners. His opponent, Magomed Ankalev, lives in Russia. He's going to have problems coming to the States. This guy's supposed to fight in 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, I should say. That fight's not happening either. And this guy he said, I took the risk of leaving my family because I really need to fight and I want to have this fight. It makes me sad, James, honestly. Like, he made a decision for his career. You got to respect that. I would not want to leave my family in a time like this, James. I wouldn't risk it for anything. And I know this.
No, 100%. And that's the thing. And then there was like these idiot fans who were like, Leon Edwards didn't want to fight and whatever. It's like, no, like,
that was
out of family. Yeah.
For the UFC to be like, on like 3 hours north, like, you got to go to the airport right now and get to the States. The card might happen next week. For him to leave his family, have no way of getting home, James. That was a ridiculous request. I'll say that. All right. Let's get a few more questions, James, and then I want to talk about some other pieces of news here. This no guy, problem. Justin Jr. 962, prediction of Smith Teixeira. I know you just
I just previewed that entire fight yesterday on Early Look. So go check that out, youtube.com/thescoreMMA. You can get my prediction on there.
My prediction is this card doesn't happen in Nebraska.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I talked about that yesterday.
Chris Ludford, how much money is starting a promotion as well for sale? Billions of dollars. I mean,
it's expensive. Like, I'm really getting to see it, because, you know, I do commentary for Rise FC, and just like I talk to Saba all the time, because obviously I do commentary for the card, and it's expensive, and it's tough to make a profit. Like, there's a lot that goes into it, and like, I'll even let you guys know that, like, and I don't mind doing this, by the way, I love it. Like, I'll help set up chairs when I'm at the event. Like, it's just it takes everyone to really make an event happen, and there's so much that goes into it, and it's, you got to have deep pockets, and you got to know that you're probably not going to make any money the first couple of events. Like, it takes some time. So, it's really difficult.
It is. Hey, Montgomery Whitmore, the MMA company should just be putting on as many replays as possible, not forcing events and pay the fire. UFC is way too greedy, 100%. James, I think, you know, for a newer fan especially, this is the perfect time to go back and watch every UFC event, from number one all the way to UFC 248 or whatever it was. James, when I first got on the sport, I went back and watched all the old cards. I watched all the old Prides. I have all the DVDs. I watched all the old UFCs. At that time, you could only get them. I used to go to like secondhand DVD shops in Toronto looking for old events to watch, because you couldn't find them anywhere on the internet.
There's no Fight Pass back then. Yeah, you're right.
There was no Fight Pass. New fans are so spoiled. They have this amazing tool, UFC Fight Pass. They can watch any card. Man, if I could go back and rewatch all the old Pride cards, like starting from Pride 1 to Pride, was it 34 or whatever? That'd be amazing. Those cards are incredible, James. I know that, like, you love them too back in the day, right?
Big time, yeah. Especially when I was working at Fight Network, like, we had a lot of those, like, in-house, so I got to, like, even on, like, a lunch break or whatever, I could go watch them. I used to watch all the old K1 events. Like, there's so much good MMA to watch, and that's what I mean. Like, if you're looking, like, fans are like, oh, I'm so bored, I want MMA to watch. I guarantee you there's fans out there who haven't watched some of the best cards that have ever happened. Go back and watch some of the earlier cards. I just watched, actually, for the first time, I haven't seen it, because it was tough to watch here in Canada, but I finally watched the 30 for 30 with Chuck and Tito. Have you seen that?
I think I have. Oh, no, I don't know if I've seen it.
It's so good. I just watched it the other night because I finally found it here or whatever. So there's even things like that you can go back and watch. There's the old Tap Out reality show they used to do. Yeah. Go watch that show. Glover Teixeira was on that show. So was Donald Cerrone. Like, there's so many good shows that are out there that, like, even reality shows. Yeah.
The old Ultimate Fighter, James. Ultimate Fighter was a great show. I mean, I guarantee you there's fans that have not watched all the seasons. Yeah, some of the newer seasons were pretty bad, and that's why the show got canceled. But the first bunch of seasons, James, like, those are classics, you know? Strikeforce has an amazing library. I used to love Strikeforce, James. You look at a lot of the UFC champs, they were in Strikeforce. Strikeforce was an incredible promotion. So I definitely recommend going back and watching those on Fight Pass. That's going to fill the time. I know people are bored. I understand that. You got to understand these fighters. It's too risky for them to fight right now.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the old events. All right. Last question here, Chris. why do fighters go to UFC? Most of them never make over 500,000 because that's still
they love the sport.
Yeah, actually, Ben Folks, I can give him a shout out here because he did that article. I'm pretty sure you saw this, James, on The Athletic, where he's like, he asked them, why do you fight? And they gave different reasons, but they love fighting. That's why they do it. Like, it takes a special person to fight, man. Like, this is a brutal sport. It's not, honestly, the first career choice I would think of, but these guys love it and these girls love it. But it's a, man, it's a crazy sport, James.
There's no, I'm convinced there's no sport like MMA with the highs and lows, with the lack of pay. Like, people aren't getting into this because of the money here. If you want to make 500K, go be a doctor, right? Like, it's just, you do it for the love of the sport and all that stuff. And it's not the best career choice. Like, there's a lot of downsides. Look at someone like Jessica Rose Clark. Here's a quick example. Like, she's trying to, you know, grind her way up. She wants to be a future champion. You know, betting odds say that she won't be. As long as Valentina's champ, she probably won't ever. Actually, I think she's at bantamweight now. But even so, like, it wouldn't make a difference. Like, it's just too much for her to try and do that. She's living in an RV right now. You know, a lot of people are like feeling sorry for her, but she's choosing to do this because fighting to her is more important than living in a nice house. So I commend that. And that's why, like, you'll never hear me talk shit on fighters because there's a lot of sacrifices they have to make to be fighters and they get punched in the face. And if you win a couple fights, you're on the top of the world, you lose one fight, it doesn't matter. If you lose one fight, oh, they're going to Bellator, they're a bust. Like, look at Macy Barber. People are already saying she's a bust after one fight. Like, come on, people. Like, you have to look at, like, what these fighters are putting themselves through. And that's why I have nothing but the utmost respect for them. And it's not, they don't get into this for the money. There's a million professions you could do that where you're going to make more money. And you know what? Same goes for the media. There's not a lot of money in this sport. We didn't choose this profession because we wanted to be, you know, living like a, you know, like a mansion or anything, or drive a nice car. We did this because we love it. And it's better than working in an office, you know, in my opinion.
Dude, I agree. I was about to say, like, me and you, like, we're making a living, James, but if we were like a doctor, we obviously make more money. You know what I mean? But I love what I do, James. I really do. And I know you're the same way, man. Like, I couldn't imagine myself, I've said this for like 10 years now, I couldn't imagine myself really doing anything else, you know? Yeah. This is all I really want to do. Like, I don't have another like career path I'd like to take. There's that, like, this is what I want to do, but I know that my money is always going to be limited somewhat, you know, because that's just part of the sport. All right, let's get some other things here, James. John Jones. We got to talk about John Jones, man. I didn't really get your thoughts on this yet. Love to hear them. So John Jones pleaded guilty to DWI. The prosecutors dropped the negligent use of a firearm charge and also the open container. And I think he had no insurance. They dropped those charges. So he just gets the guilty for DWI, but they gave him a slap on the wrist, James. 96 hours house arrest or something like that. Some community service, I think 40 hours or something. 48 hours, and he's got to use the ignition lock thing for his car to get into it. They did not take his license away, which surprised me. And I'll be honest, James, I was surprised he didn't get a jail sentence for this. What do you think about the punishment?
Not enough. I think, and you know, I had an argument with someone on my channel about this entire topic where someone's like, I don't care what John Jones does outside the cage. You don't care that he was drinking and driving and could potentially kill someone. Oh, but he didn't. That's what they were saying. It doesn't matter. You're putting people at risk. Look, John Jones does drugs. I don't care. I mean, I don't think that's good if you're a role model and whatever. Like, he can do whatever he wants outside the cage. John Jones, the personal fighter, I don't care. John Jones is putting people's lives in danger. Then, yeah, I got an issue with that. So, yes, I was surprised about the slap on the wrist. I think he should. I mean, you're just he's done this. I don't know how many times. And you know, repeat offender. If it was anyone else, they'd be getting way more of a stiff punishment. Hold on, I'm just choking here.
I don't know what happened to you. I think something transmitted through the computer.
No, sometimes my mouth gets dry. Anyways, I'm just saying that, like, I figured he would have got some time. And I also think, like, I bet the UFC is not even going to suspend him or do anything. And they should, because, like, you can't have your champion acting like this outside the cage. And it just makes the whole company look bad. Otherwise, you're only going to feed in to this notion that some people already have, which is that there's only, like, thugs and, you know, bad people in this sport. So that it hurts the image. So I think, you know, people got to look at that as well too. And I'm a big John Jones fan. I would like to see him succeed. I was rooting for him when he came back and to see him as a changed person, but he clearly isn't. And the only way he's going to get better is if, you know, harsher punishments are done. So I don't think we learned anything from this. And, you know, I want to see John Jones at his best and in the cage and, you know, beating opponents, but this is just another disappointing result and something that's not going to help him long-term.
Yeah. He is the greatest fighter I've ever seen. I've always said this. I remember watching him for the first time. First time I saw him fight, he fought Guzmão first, but the Bonner fight, James, UFC 100, I mean, who can forget what he did there, right? Like, just suplexed him and beat him up. And I was like, this guy's special, and he's a special athlete, but like, the guy's never going to learn, James, unless he gets a severe punishment. For me, like, this is a joke. House arrest during a pandemic of quarantine. Like, you can't even leave your house anyways. He basically told the cops he was bored and wanted to go for a drive. Well, did he need to bring Jorge Masvidal's Mezcal in the back of his car, James? And, you know, obviously everyone's going to say he needs to hire a driver. I mean, that goes without saying. I was shocked they didn't take his license from him, James. How could they not? This guy's a repeat offender. He could have killed that woman a few years ago when he got in that car accident, left the scene of an accident, ran back, grabbed his weed and his pipe, ran away again. I don't care if he smokes weed. You shouldn't smoke weed when you drive. That's stupid. But for him to run away from the accident, he got nothing for that. He had a DUI back in 2012. Because it was in New York, I think, and not in New Mexico, they didn't count it for this one. So they looked at him almost as like a first-timer, which is stupid to me. But it's crazy, James. You know, again, I'm like you. I want to see the guy succeed. I want to see him fight. I want to see him become an even greater champion, because his legacy is already like amazing. But it'll always be tainted by these kind of incidents, James. Like, let me ask you a question, James. When did George St. Pierre ever get in this kind of trouble?
Never.
Yep. Never. And to me, this does affect John Jones' image. Like, when we look back in history books, you know, 50 years from now, we talk about the greatest fighters, there will always be an asterisk next to John Jones because of the positive drug tests. And also because of the stuff outside the octagon. So, to me, I was just really disappointed by the punishment. Also, I saw Chael Sonnen's interview. That was so dumb, James, what he was saying. He's like, these cops are being unfair. The guy told him he was drinking. Why did they have to do these tests? That's part of what they do. They have to do field sobriety tests, James. People were saying, like, John Jones is being treated unfairly by the cops. I thought the cops were fair, man. They were super fair. Did you watch the whole body cam thing,
James? I did. Yeah, I watched, like, most of it. I sort of zoomed through it or whatever.
Did you think they were being fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think, like, and even so, like, John, even if they weren't being fair, he's a repeat offender. Yes. Like, you shouldn't even be in that position to begin with. He should have been at home.
Yeah.
Got to be responsible. Guy's got kids. Like, we let's forget John Jones, the fighter. Like, as an actual human being, like, if this had happened to anyone else, they'd be in jail right now. So,
you got caught for DUI, we'd be in jail. Like, there's no.
Yeah.
There's
and if it was any other UFC fighter, like, if this was like, I'll just use an example as like just a random fighter that like isn't like making any noise. Like, let's say like Neil Magny. Well, okay, maybe not Neil Magny. He came off a win. But like, let's say like Eddie Wineland. There's an example. If Eddie Wineland did this, he'd not be in the UFC right now. 100%.
Yes. And I'm not surprised that they haven't really like made any statements. I don't think they will, James. I don't think Dana's going to come out and say we're going to cut the guy. They did last time. They didn't. They're not cut him, but they obviously stripped him of his belt. I don't see that happening here. They may make a statement saying like we were aware of the situation, which they already did, but I don't see any more punishment happening. All right, let's get to a few other things here, James. You did an interview yesterday or 2 days ago maybe with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Great interview. Yeah. He talked about a few different opponents. I mentioned Colby Covington and Leon Edwards. I still think the Edwards-Woodley fight should happen, but I think Covington versus Woodley is a really interesting fight. I'd like to see this fight. What do you think?
Yeah, I do want to see Covington and Woodley, and I think there's so much of a backstory there that you could easily sell that fight. It's really going to depend what happens with Kamaru Usman. I know Colby wants a rematch with Usman, but I just think that, I think when you get finished in a fight, you probably don't need to get a rematch. It's not like that was a close fight. Like, I think the narrative on that is often written a lot differently. People are like, Usman destroyed him. No, he didn't. It was a close fight, and then Colby got finished. I mean, that's what happened. You could say Usman was up all the rounds, but they weren't definitive rounds by anyone. I think there were certain rounds maybe where you could say, like, maybe like the later round, there was one later round, I think maybe fourth, where Usman definitely had it. He rocked Colby or whatever. But I'm not opposed to, I think the Covington-Woodley fight is just super interesting. It was supposed to happen last year before Usman ended up getting the title shot against Woodley. So I'd like to see that. And for Wonderboy, I mean, you can't go wrong. He's still a top fighter. That went over Luque, no joke. Luque is a dangerous guy in that division. So I think Wonderboy and Leon Edwards would make sense if they don't want to do Woodley and Edwards and they want to do Woodley and Covington. But if they do that rematch between or they do the fight between Edwards and Woodley, then maybe you do Thompson and Covington. But we'll have to see what sort of the UFC wants to do there.
It's funny though, I was reading some of the comments, like some of these fans are clueless. Like, they're like, Wonderboy's washed up. No, he's not. First off, he just beat up Luque so bad. The fight with Darren Till, he should have won that fight. And then his loss with Pettis, that was a bad loss. But you know what? He was winning that fight and got caught. Everyone gets caught. He did interviews with you, James, talking about being knocked out for the first time in his, like, 200 fight career. So it happens. You know what I mean? I don't think he's washed up. I know he's 37. He's really Wonder Man now. He's not really Wonder Boy anymore, James. But he's still a pretty decent fighter. Paige VanZant, my boy Tom Taylor over at BJ Penn, he interviewed her. And she talked about free agency. I know you've interviewed, obviously, Paige and Austin, her husband, as well. What do you think is going to happen, James? Because she has one more fight left in her deal. I think they'll probably book the Rebus fight again. That does seem like a pretty good fight, good matchmaking there. She obviously is going to hit free agency after one more fight. I do think she's going to go to Bellator, though. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think just with what they can do with her career from an entertainment standpoint. I mean, she has that show on TMZ now, which she talked to me about. And the other thing is she mentioned that she's sort of like an in-betweener, like as far as like 115 and 125. So, I mean, you could get Paige in Bellator and just create a new division for her if you wanted to. Like she's marketable and she's a good looking girl. She's obviously puts herself out there in terms of, you know, interviews and doing broadcasting work and all that stuff. And that just seems like a better fit for Bellator. And I think the UFC knows that, like, you know, they have fighters that are bigger draws that are more successful. And that's why they let like a Sage Northcutt walk. And I could see them doing the same thing here with Paige. The interesting thing that she told me is that she's open to fighting in either weight class. So I think 115 is probably a better choice for her if she can make the weight, if she can do it safely. But just because I see some of the girls at like 125, like Andrea Lee, for example, is like way taller than Paige VanZant. So like that's something to like keep in mind, like how would she do in a fight like that? But yeah, I think that I think she'll probably go to Bellator just because, and you know, she has new management now too. She's with First Round.
With Malky and Abe, right?
So that's Malky and Abe, yeah. So I don't know if that'll play a role in it as well, of her maybe staying, because I know they have a good relationship with the UFC. Right. But then, you know, Sergio Pettis is also First Round, and he went to Bellator. So I just think Bellator is a better fit because they could sell the husband and wife angle. They could like get them on the same card. They could have, you know, Paige do other things like for the promotion, like commentary. She's good friends with Chael Sonnen. They actually train together. So that's another reason to go to Bellator. So yeah, I think for the UFC right now, I think they know who their, you know, investments are in those divisions, like with, you know, Macy Barber and some of the other up and comers. I think they're more focused on that. And I think they'll let Paige walk. That's what I think.
I think so too. And you make a good point about the management change, obviously. Who's your last manager? Because I can't remember his name,
but it was Kyle Stotts out of the management called Janus Sports. So they rep like they rep a lot of women's fighters. They rep like Alima Leigh McFarlane. They rep Liz Carmouche. They have just they actually have a bunch of Bellator fighters. Brandon Gertz, Derek Campos. Names, but like yeah, just sort of like another company that's out there.
Yeah, I was reading his tweets. He was tweeting about this like a few months ago. To me, it's like he's overrating her value a little bit, and I think maybe she saw that. She's like, you know what, this management company doesn't understand my true value. And I think that obviously the cow was, it'll get her a good deal. They're a good manager. You can say what you want about them and them supporting John Jones and everything, but they're good managers, James. So it's like Ali Abdelaziz, right? Like you can say what you want about the guy. The guy's a good manager. He gets his fighters really good contracts. And you ask any fighter who's managed by Ali, James, I've never seen one of them say a bad word about the guy.
No, he gets them paid. And I actually didn't know this, but you know, I didn't realize that when Gaethje fought Cerrone, Ali apparently didn't take any money from it because Gaethje didn't want to fight him. And Ali's like, okay, look, we just got to do this for the UFC, but don't worry, I won't take any money from you. So yeah, no, he's a great manager. Everything else, you can say what you want. But yeah, as far as management goes, that's good. And with the First Round, kind of what I've been told from all the fighters I've spoken to is that, you know, if you're like a notable fighter, like a Derek Lewis or like a, you know, Masvidal or like a John Jones or whatever, like you get taken care of. I've heard of some fighters who, you know, if you're not as popular, maybe you're not getting enough attention, but that happens with a lot of management companies. So I'm not sort of throwing any shade, but I think for someone like Paige, they will be a priority for them. So I expect big things from them going forward. And you got to remember too, that like, if you can get a management company that can get you like those deals outside of like fighting, like, you know, endorsement deals or whatever, like Ballingy does a great job of this. I know Curtis Blades is doing like appearances all the time, at least before this pandemic happened. He was like doing appearances and making money. So that's the type of management you want, is one that will go beyond just the regular fight responsibilities.
Yeah, 100%, James. All right, let's go a few more questions here. Man, New York has been on an incredible run as double champ. Ronda made more money in the UFC. How does it make sense? And I think Montgomery
makes perfect sense.
He says right here, more than a draw, more feminine. The second part, I don't like. That's kind of controversial, I'd say, Montgomery. I'm not saying you're wrong, but definitely more of a draw. I want to hear what James has to say.
That was a dramatic pause there. No, it's quite simple. Amanda Nunes, I mean, he's partially right. I mean, Ronda Rousey's, you know, she's an attractive woman. I think with Amanda Nunes, there's probably a smaller sector of people who find her physique attractive in terms of all that stuff, to put it politely. And I think that's why as well. And also Amanda Nunes, I mean, English is not her first language. Not that she struggles with English. She's quite good, actually. I've interviewed her a handful of times. But yeah, I mean, and then here's the other argument that like I want to put to rest right now. Like people are saying the UFC has done a bad job of marketing Amanda Nunes. I disagree. Amanda Nunes was on Ellen. People forget this. This was a couple of years ago. She was on Ellen. You look at Ellen's lineup every week. It's like every day, actually, when she does the show, like Kevin Hart, like we're talking A-list celebrities. Amanda Nunes was on that show and it made no difference. I don't think it helped her popularity. I think maybe she got some more Twitter followers, but it's just the reality. And Ronda also struck a nerve. That was something that Nunes doesn't really do. Like, remember when Ronda like wouldn't shake Miesha Tate's hand after the rematch and like things like that. So she kind of had this villain. Ronda was also on the Ultimate Fight. Or no, was she? No, yeah. She was on The Ultimate Fighter with Misha. That's right. So like there was all these opportunities where like Ronda could sort of break through. And also Ronda was like the first woman fight in the UFC. So there were a lot of things that were helping Rousey at the time. And I think also the fact that people either loved her or hated her. Like it's funny seeing people hate Colby Covington now. Like, I think people hated Rousey just as much at a certain point when she was, you know, talking trash to opponents. And, you know, and then Ronda also had the highlight reel finishes. Like there was what, those three fights where those circulated everywhere. Amanda Nunes has had some good wins, but nothing like that close back to back. Like what Ronda Rousey did will probably never be replicated again in terms of three quick finishes from someone who's a champion, who's a star, and all that. It was just really the perfect storm for the UFC and from a marketing perspective.
Absolutely. I remember the first time I saw her fighting Strikeforce, and I was like, holy crap, she's going to be huge. And Dana White was always like, there's going to be no women in the UFC, James. She changed that. She changed the game. I love Amanda Nunes. She is an incredible fighter. Didn't like her last fight. Her last fight was really boring, but mostly, James, she is a pretty exciting fighter. But I'm with you. I feel like she. All these fighters, you can't always blame the UFC on promotion. They've given her a lot of opportunity. I think she fails to promote herself that well, but she's comfortable with just being a champion and being a dominant fighter. That's who she's comfortable being with. I think it's more like the fans saying, you know, she's not this big enough star, but I feel like she's okay with where she is right now.
Yep. No, I agree.
All right. A few other questions here, James. Chris Ludford, Rory made under 90K fighting against Robbie Lawler. That's why a new MMA promotion needs to open up. I know he made more than that in Bellator. PFL, I don't know what his contract's like. I'm assuming it's not amazing.
Well, if he wins, he gets $1 million, right? Yeah. But then people forget if he would have won the Bellator title, he would have got the same amount. I think they Lima got $1 million.
That's great. So you know what?
But it is easier in PFL. Let's be honest here. I mean, he doesn't have to face Lima or any of the, like, I'm trying to remember who's even on the PFL welterweight roster, but Rory should be one of the favorites.
He'd be the favorite, I would assume. And the Magomed Karamov guy and Ray Cooper the third, he's obviously great too. Let's go to another question here. AJ's action pack sport says, what's up, AJ? Ronda was also the first women's UFC superstar. She was Marcus, man. What would you consider to be your top three MMA dream fights never happened? All right, so I'll start with one here, James. You got to go with Fedor and Brock Lesnar. I still feel like that was a huge fight, man. I love Fedor. I still love the guy. Brock Lesnar, he was great for a while, man. I think that would have been a massive fight. Even Fedor against Randy Couture, that's another like huge fight. Remember, it's on that cover of that video game, EA Sports MMA.
I got the poster right here, signed by both guys. Wait. Yeah, here, hold on. Let's get it right there. Let's see if you guys can see that. Right there, it's autographed too. That thing's worth like $3,000.
Oh, nice, dude. That's sick.
Got that when I worked at Fight Network. But I'm with you there. Actually, the one name you didn't mention, but in their primes, Brock was the name I was thinking of. I am missing a name. I was just getting confused when I was thinking of Brock. Cain Velasquez in his prime against Fedor would have been amazing. Oh, yeah. And I know they tried to do that fight.
Yeah. Give me a fight, James. Dream fight.
Another fight. I think GSP and Anderson Silva is a fight that I would have liked to see at a certain point. Like we're talking like when before Anderson had those kind of dull fights against Maya and Talis Latus, that would have been interesting. But I understand GSP not wanting to go up. I don't think he would have won that fight. I think Anderson, you know, he's a big guy. I think Anderson Silva and John Jones in their prime would have been good. Here's one that, you know, I think potentially could have happened, but just the way things kind of worked out. But Gegard Mousasi and John Jones, if you remember when Gegard was the champ in Strikeforce and John Jones had just won the title, that would have been a fun fight too. Although I think Jones would have won just kind of looking at history. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones like, oh, here's one that I'm pretty sure never happened. Actually, yeah, no, it didn't happen. In their prime, Kid Yamamoto and Uriah Faber.
That was supposed to be a huge fight to determine the best like lightweight fighter, like lighter weight fighter, I should say. Kid passed away, man. I think he had cancer, which is
extremely- He did in 2018. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
And he was young too. What was he, like 40 years old? Like really sad. That would have been a big fight. I remember like when I was first getting into sport, my old friend Ryan Kelly, he was like, remember him? Yeah, he was.
Of course, yeah. What's Ryan? You still talk
to him? No, we don't talk anymore. But we were like good friends. And obviously me and you were mutual friends at the time too, James. So, but yeah, we don't talk anymore. It is what it is. But I remember he was like, dude, I want to see this fight so bad. I want to see Katie Avalon against Faber. And I was like, I want to see it too. Another fight, James, Gina Carano against Ronda Rousey. That would have been a big fight.
Yep.
Gina Carano against, man, who's she supposed to fight in that Strikeforce card? She got a member, Cyborg, right? Wasn't it the rematch, maybe?
Gina Carano.
That's what they fight?
Yeah, and also Ronda Rousey and Cyborg.
Oh, yeah. You
know, that's another one we never got to see, unfortunately. Which you think Ronda in her prime. Again, it's just so unfortunate what happened to Ronda, because if she didn't fall in love with her stand-up, I mean, who knows where she'd be right now in the UFC. I think she would have had a much longer career if she just would have stuck to her ground game and just not been with Edmund, unfortunately. Like, I worry for Edmund Shahbazi, and at a certain point where that's going to catch up to him, because I don't think, you know, Edmund's the greatest coach, right? So,
you know, Gina Carano is only 37, and she retired at age 28. That's incredible.
Yep. Dude, yep. That, I think she saw the paychecks that she was getting from the movies. And know what? A lot better than the UFC. I know the UFC. Well, Gina talked about this with Ariel on his show a while ago, that like they were looking at getting her in the UFC, and then Dana was just like a jerk. And I guess he sent a text to her by accident or something. Yeah.
He said she was like hard to work with or something, and he texted it to her when it was for someone else. But I love Gina, dude. She was like, I respect her a lot, James. You know, she was like the original female star. All right, I have a question that someone sent to my inbox on Twitter, James.
While you're doing that, I'm going to quickly answer this question from Chris Lunford, because I see it in the chat. He says, Amanda Nunes beat Miesha Tate, Ronda Rousey, humbled Raquel Pennington, beat Valentina Shevchenko twice, KO'd Cyborg and Holly Holm. What are you saying? What I'm saying is that doesn't matter. Demetrius Johnson held the record in the UFC for like most wins. He was dominant at flyweight. People didn't care. There has to be that entertainment aspect to it. And if you want to know what makes a superstar, it's got to be a combination of things. It's got to be, you got to represent something. Like with George St. Pierre and McGregor, McGregor represents Ireland. George St. Pierre represents Canada. Like there wasn't any, like Amanda Nunes, it's not like Brazil is a country that didn't have any success. Like it's not like she was like representing them and it was like a big deal. So there was that. Number two, you know, doesn't talk trash, doesn't have, you know, huge personality. I know GSP didn't talk trash, but GSP was like kind of seen as like this model citizen, so that sort of helped his image as well too. And you know, I'm just saying that, like with Rousey, she, like I said, struck a nerve. People did not like her. She also had highlight reel finishes like back to back to back, which certainly helped out. So Chris, you got to look at this from a viewer standpoint. Like I understand where you're coming from, but like that's you need to, it's tough to market fighters. Boxing struggles with this too. You have to have the total package to be one of those global superstars like a McGregor. And that's just, she doesn't have it. And it's just, I'm not discrediting her fight career whatsoever, but I can't go to the grocery store right now and ask who Amanda Nunes is. Most people don't know. And she was on Ellen and people still don't know.
Yeah. And here's a comment that supports you, James, from Montgomery. Yeah. Need the it factor. You either have a strong personality or you don't. It's true. I'm gonna get to the question I got in my, sure. Box, and then we'll go to the question from John. So this guy, I love to travel, Lionman19. I think you guys know each other a little bit too, James. He sent me a private messenger. Possible thing to address. Why are some fighters more active than others? One current example. Why did Tony and Abi wait 10 and 7 months after fights? Connor, you know, doesn't fight that often. Cejudo only fights once or twice a year. These are some examples. Or they're gas at activity. Fighters only once or twice a year. Is it their choice, the UFC's choice?
Injuries. What do you guys talk, like, did they not know that Cejudo was out most of last year? Like,
well, first off, for the UFC, they need to offer these guys and girls 3 fights a year, if I'm not mistaken. So they have to offer them fights, but a lot of time they obviously have to turn it down because there's like injuries, like you said, James. If they offer a fight and they're injured, you can't fight. But the other thing is, if you're a champion, you don't have to fight as often because, number one, you're getting paid more money. And number two, you have to kind of wait for your challengers. And number three, you have to wait for a pay-per-view card most of the time. So that's kind of why I think the elite fighters don't fight that often. They usually fight like once or twice a year. Once in a while, you have a guy like John Jones or Israel fight 4 times a year, but it's kind of rare. Most normal fighters, James, they have to fight 3 or 4 times a year because they need to make money. If you're only making $10,000 4 times a year, 10 and 10, you have to fight 4 times a year. If you're making $250,000 once or twice a year, you only have to fight once or twice a year. So I'm assuming you kind of agree with me on that. Mm-hmm. All right, second question here. Why do some people get overlooked for title shots? 3 examples. Celeste Dos Santos, 8 wins in a row, didn't get a title shot. Diego Ferrer, 6 wins in a row, never mentioned for title shot. Islam Makhachev, 6 wins in a row and never get a title shot. Charles Oliveira. And for this question, you know, it's a good question.
Who are they beating though? That's what you have to look at. Like Zaleski, like how many top 10 wins did he have in there? Makhachev, that's the one thing with him. He doesn't have any like notable top 10 wins. And you got to finish your opponents. It's got to be a combination of everything. The one you didn't even put in there that I could argue is Leon Edwards, but again, he's not finishing fights. So the title shots are determined by 2 things: quality of opposition and how you're finishing your fights. If you're going the distance, go ask John Fitch when he was in the UFC. That guy deserved a title shot well before he got one, but it's because he kept going the distance with these fights and you need to get finishes. That's an easy way of convincing yourself to get a title shot. And it just depends on who's available in the division. There's a lot of factors that go into it, but it's not that black and white.
Yeah, I agree. I understand with what James said. All right, let's get to a few other last questions here. We're going to end the podcast in a few minutes, guys. So if you have any last minute questions, throw them in here. But I want to get James out of here. James, I appreciate your time, man. John Hunko, sure. Said he would entertain a fight at 155 rematch. Holloway doesn't happen. You'll see 251, possible fun fight. That fight's not happening, John. I think Volkanovski's already said as much. What would be a fun fight for 155? I want to see him fight 145. He hasn't even defended the belt once. You know,
I've said this before too. Sorry to cut you off there, but like I like fighters that defend. It's like people wanting to see Izzy fight John Jones. Let Izzy defend his title a couple times at middleweight, and then we can talk about those fights. When there's contenders in the division, there's no reason to be jumping around weight classes, in my opinion. And to answer your question, you want a fun fight for Volkanovski? How about Justin Gaethje? That would be amazing.
yes, that would be a fun fight. But I just Poirier. Think 145, there's tons of fights. Like, even if he doesn't fight Max, Yair Rodriguez is a fun fight. It's a fun fight. Like, there's other fun fights, James. Mm-hmm. Chris Ludford, another question for you, James, I think. So should Mandanus play the bad guy to gain traction? Clearly being the first lesbian champion didn't appeal the Ellen DeGeneres. Any thoughts?
No, I don't think there's anything she can do right now that would make her a global superstar. Like, you have, look at McGregor. McGregor, by the way, great self-promoter. That's another reason why he became so popular, is that if McGregor just won his fights the way he did and represented Ireland, he would still be a big star, but he wouldn't be anywhere near as big as he is. Like, we've been to, I mean, you know, I've seen how many press conferences of McGregor, how many sound bites are out there of McGregor? Let me ask you this. How many sound bites are out there of Amanda Nunes? Any good quotes? Probably not many. I could probably name, like, you know, a handful. So it just, some fighters have it and some fighters don't. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we can't pretend that, like, you know, that if you win fights, that automatically means you're a superstar. It just doesn't. Look at Demetrius Johnson's entire UFC career. Great fighter, great guy. Actually enjoy his interviews and everything. He's a pretty personable guy, but you got to have that it factor. And some people, for whatever reason, can't seem to grasp onto that. They can't understand it. So, I don't think there's anything Nunes could do at this point, honestly.
James, you're right, man. You're bang on this. You know what, James? We used to talk about this on the old partner side. Like, we're talking about Nunes 2 years ago. Same thing now. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
AJ, who do you think is more likely to face Ferguson at 249, Habib or Gaethje? I think you must have missed the early part of the podcast. We just don't think the card's going to happen, man. But if I had to guess,
Habib can't fight anyways. He can't leave.
Exactly. Montgomery, it's not just playing a role. Have you watched the old UFC events? Each fighter was unique. Now everything's the same. He's 100% right about this.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole Reebok, I always hated the Reebok deal. It took away a lot of the personality of the fighters, man. Like, could you imagine Chuck Liddell without the Iceman shorts, or T. Ortiz with the flame shorts, or like Mauricio Shogun, who without the little bad boy panties? Like, you can't imagine these guys with those shorts. Anderson Silva with the bumblebee, with the bad boy shorts, James. Like, that's right. When I think of those guys, that's what I think of. So I think for sure, like, and also the walkouts, you know, Jason Mayhem Miller, the guy's crazy, but he had amazing walkouts. Goes to the UFC, they're like, you can't do this anymore. Just walk to the cage. The only guy that really is allowed to do anything different is Adesanya for some reason. Like, he's able to do this. James, I would love to see, like, better walkouts. Like, Strikeforce does, or not Strikeforce, Bellator does it great because they're like Strikeforce. Like, they let guys come out and do funny things. Like, they have a different type of entrance. Ryzen is great with this. Like, King Mo, James. King Mo had the best entrances, man. Doing the dance, bringing the girls out. I'd love to see that kind of personality in the UFC, and I know you're the same way.
Big time. Bring back the lasers, the ramp, all that stuff. Give me some entertainment here.
So much fun. I know you've been to a few Bellator events, like the bigger
they do it so well, man. Like, yeah. that grant, like, actually even last year when I went to see the Grand Prix with the Pitbull and Archuleta fight, like them doing the announcement, like, I'm sitting there, I'm looking, like, I remember talking to, like, Ant Walker and a couple of the other people there, and we're just like, this is so fucking cool. Like, why can't they do this in the UFC? Like,
they make it so cookie cutter, man. That's the problem. Like,
well, I think they are trying to be more like, but even boxing does stuff like that. Dude, Deontay Wilder blamed his entire loss on that costume he wore. So if they can do it, why can't the UFC? It's because they have too many fights. Like, if they made the card shorter, they could probably have more time for that. And I sign me up. I love all that stuff.
Dude, I actually still go back and go to YouTube and watch the old T. Ortiz entrance when he was fighting Ken Shamrock.
Well, that's why you got to watch this 30 for 30, man, because, like, it's that they go into all that stuff and talk about how they really help shape the sport. And it's so cool. Like, I even forgot they used to have the shouting matches, him and Chuck Liddell in the cage after, like, one of them would win a fight. And, like, you never see that anymore. Like, I miss all that stuff. I love it. I love all that stuff.
Dude, it's making me, like, reminisce about the good old days, James. All right. Yeah. So, like, one or two more questions here. I'll get you here, James. AJ, again, Rafael Sunsell, this is a good question for you, James. You're a big Sunsell guy. Sunsell is another guy who's so talented and fought high level, but never got title shot because he wasn't finishing fights with frequency. That, and love the guy, probably like one of the nicest guys in the sport, James. Not the most interesting guy to, like,
you know, interview. No, 100%. And I'll say this as someone who's interviewed him a number of times. He's just one of those guys. He's soft spoken. He's a little quiet. You know, it's some fighters are just like that. And I have no issue with that. It's just, there's some fighters who are going to be superstars, but as fans, don't complain that the UFC's not like there. I mean, I'm sure there's a few cases that you could look at where the UFC could do a better job at marketing, but, like, if you're getting main events, if you're getting pushed and all that, like, you know, like Macy Barber, it's been a perfect combination for both. Macy's done a good job keeping her name out there, but the UFC, it seemed like they had her at, like, every event backstage doing, like, a guest scrum. Like, they knew what they were doing with her and pushing her. So I don't really have an issue with that at all. Like, it's just certain fighters have it and they don't. We just have to accept that.
I agree. And one last thing here from Montgomery. DJ, the guy's just boring and nervous.
I wouldn't say nervous, but yeah, he's, yeah.
Even his interviews are not the most interesting to watch. And then one last thing. This is the last question I'm taking.
Because Holly Holm knocked out Ronda Rousey, like in like this huge upset. Like, Chris, I love the questions. I love the fact that we're disagreeing here. But dude, you got to look at context. That was at one of the, I think it is still one of the biggest gate cards they've ever had in UFC history in Australia. Holly Holm was a massive underdog. Ronda Rousey had like no signs that she was going to lose anytime soon. She was literally getting highlight reel finishes back to back to back. McMahon, as Ngannou, Bechkahea, back to back to back. You have this monster here in Ronda Rousey who almost had like a Mike Tyson-esque thing where like fighters, it seemed like they were scared to even fight or even to go in. Holly Holm said, screw that. I'm going to head kick you. And Adam Martin got his redemption because I remember years ago you said Holly was going to be the one to beat Ronda Rousey, and a notable journalist who's a bit arrogant shot you down, and then you got your redemption that day too. But Chris, that's why Holly Holm was a star, because she knocked out Ronda Rousey, who was considered unbeatable. Look at the context. I know Amanda Nunes beat Ronda Rousey after that, but Ronda lost luster when she fought Nunes because she was already knocked out. This isn't that hard, people. Come on, context. Look at context.
Oh, James, great, great point. I remember, I don't have to say this guy's name. Me and James are
talking about here. Well, it's a dumb comment. Like, he was so arrogant too. He's like, that's never going to happen. Yeah, he's just wish you could have saved that tweet. It would have been funny to throw that in their face.
I went back to it years later and I was like, really? I'm like, remember what you said here, man? And it is what it is. You know, people want to disagree. That's cool, but the guy was a dick about it. All right, I think that's it for James, because honestly, I want to get you out of here. I want to get out of here myself. I know you got your – I don't know if you have any interviews today, but anyways.
I don't have interviews, but I got to write up some stuff. I got a cool Pros React video coming out. Well, I don't know. I'll plug my stuff whenever you give me the go. Okay, yeah. So anyways, at Lynch on Sports, Twitter, Instagram, easiest way to get a hold of me. I post all my content on there. YouTube.com/TheScoreMMA. Here's the thing, guys. There's a bunch of other outlets out there, and they're going to be producing content, and that's great. But I want to tell you one thing. At The Score, we're producing a lot of original content. We're not stealing footage from other people. We're not doing the same stuff everyone else is. You're going to see unique interviews, unique concepts. My Pros Picks, Pros React, you don't see that everywhere. So I got a Pros React coming out at 3 p.m. Eastern time today, at the time you're watching this, with the pros talking about Tiger King. Everyone's talking about this documentary, Adam. I don't know if you've seen it. It's crazy. I got the fighters to get their thoughts in it, so that'll be out later today. Really excited for you guys to watch that one. I got a couple interview clips coming out this week, and then Monday I'll be back 11 a.m. Eastern time doing my Q&A. You guys can check that out on the YouTube channel. We do the Q&A every Monday, and then I do a fight preview every Thursday at the same time at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Still working on the fighter for Monday, but basically if you guys want to tune in, hear me blab with a fighter, get your questions in. We had Ian Heinisch on this week. Really great stuff for me. That's what we're going to be doing on Monday. And other than that, yeah, just thanks for having me on, Adam. We got to do this more often, man. It's great collaborating and talking to you again.
Oh, for sure, man. I want to plug your own like private YouTube channel, because I know you just posted a video there like giving some advice to journalists.
Yeah, so I'm still I can't, like, with my role at The Score, I can't obviously do interviews on my channel anymore because I'm exclusive to them. But what I am starting to do is like advice stuff, because I get Adam, I'm sure you do too. Like, I get questions all the time. How do I do this? How do I get started? So I've just made videos on that. So rather than writing like a paragraph every single time to like explain it, I just say, look at this video. So I'm going to be hopefully having some more out. Actually, I think the next one I'm going to work on is like an updated Skype video, how to record my Skype interviews. Same thing with like FaceTime, because everyone has to do that now with this whole Corona thing going on. So I think the next video I'm going to do is like an updated version of that. But if you go on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/LynchOnSports, same thing as my Twitter handle, you'll see that I have just a lot of videos. If you're getting into MMA or you have any questions, or people ask me, how did you get into covering the sport? How'd you become a fan? That's literally the last video I just did. So always trying to give back, Adam. And thanks a lot, man. By the way, quickly, Adam, I got to give a shout out to, because he's done an awesome job with this podcast, the MMA OB Daily. I love it. I know the episodes have been cut back a little bit, but you do a great job with it. I think daily news is something we don't get enough of. And I think you've been really carrying the torch, and I'm so happy to see you succeed and continuing to kick ass in this industry, because you've been doing this full time since like 2011. I hope people remember that. It's tough to make a living in this industry, but you've been kicking ass, man. So it's been great to see.
Dude, James, I obviously appreciate that, man. And it does make me sad that we aren't able to do the show quite as often.
When we can. But you should see, I wish, like, if we could, I mean, I obviously wouldn't in public, but I mean, we DM probably every day, and it's continuous just laughter of all the stuff that happens in the industry and everything. But maybe someday I'll write a book on it. I don't know.
When you used to live in Toronto, we used to like get it for beers. What was the first thing you'd say? Who do you think's going to win this fight? What do you think of the odds? That was like the first thing. We never talked about it. I was never like, hey, James, how's your kid doing? I was just like, who's going to win this fight? And James was the same way. And then Marcus says, what time do you return? I don't know.
Whenever Adam wants me on, I'll always make time. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, obviously we'll figure it out. I always make time for Adam, though. Everyone knows that.
Sure. So. I'd like to get James on, at least every like few months or something like that. I mean, obviously I'd have James on every week, guys, if I could. But Cole does help me out. Cole, is my kind of, I wouldn't say co-host necessarily, but sidekick, I guess. He's not a permanent co-host, but I love having Cole on. But obviously me and James, it's no secret we have good chemistry. So it does suck. You can't do the podcast anymore. But James is doing obviously an amazing job. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that, James. Like, everyone tells you that. You're doing a great job.
Well, I remember
when we started, we were both in the same spot, man. We were like at the bottom of this, and now you're killing it, man. And you know, I remember when you started first doing interviews, James, like, you've improved so much, man. It's great. So it's really good to see. And the fighters, like I said, they respect the hell out of you, man, which is the most important thing in the English business. For the fighters to respect
big time.
And just like when you get those little messages, James, like when Brian Stan messaged me that one time and was like, "You're doing an amazing job," like, that made me feel so good. I still remember that, James. You know, and I know someone, I think, sent you a message recently, a fighter. I can't remember.
Well, I was Bisping who gave me the nice shout out on Twitter. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if anyone's watching this and you cover the sport, it's easy to get down on yourself. There's a lot of negativity out there for a variety of reasons. I mean, that could be a podcast in its own of why people feel the need to tell you they hate you or they don't like your content. But I always tell people, if you get compliments, write them down, keep them, take note of them, because, you know, it's easy to get caught up. And I think, you know, a lot of people have mental health, you know, problems, and people are struggling a lot. And a lot of it is the negativity, I think, on social media. So really just focus on the positive. Barstool Sports has a great motto: positive vibes only. I'm all about that. So yeah, just keep that stuff in mind.
Absolutely. Last question for you, James.
Yeah.
Are you playing any games right now? Any gaming going on?
Just retro stuff, man. Like, I'm I think right now I have an NHL 94 that has all the updated rosters. So I've been playing that. It's been good. You know, the classic ones. And I get into like old games I never played, like Alien 3. I'm playing right now for the Sega Genesis. Like, great soundtrack, by the way, if you ever check it out. Awesome game. And just just digging into it and playing that when I get a chance. But I've actually been watching a lot of documentaries lately. Vice has this Dark Side of the Ring documentary on all these old like wrestlers. They had one on like Bret Hart and stuff. I'm like in love with that. So I've been watching a lot of documentaries recently and doing that, but still playing a lot of video games. You're playing like the new stuff though. I'm going to get a Switch. I think this is the year I'll get one. And that'll be the game changer. I want to wait till my son's a little bit older too.
I'm playing a lot of Switch right now. Animal Crossing has been definitely helping me keep busy during this time. But dude, the Switch is amazing. Like, Zelda Breath of the Wild is an incredible game. Mario Odyssey. Like, and you know, James, for me, I actually really like the indie games. So I like the 2D indie games. That's what I'm playing with, like these old retro soundtracks and stuff. Like, you know, just the AB button, jump, shoot. Like, those are my type of games.
Those simpler times.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I love them though. Like, they made some really good ones for Switch. So it's an amazing system. Definitely whenever you have time. I know you have a wife and
after my son goes to bed, that's my window to play for like an hour or whatever. Right.
There you go. You have a little bit of time for yourself. Yeah. And last thing, James, you have a show you're watching that the fans should watch, or?
Yeah, so like Dark Side of the Ring, like I just mentioned there, I've been watching that. They do like an episode every week. It's actually a Canadian who does the series. It's really good. Just some really eye-opening stuff. And then The Challenge. I love that show on MTV. The one where they get all the like old real world competitors and they like go against each other. That's on every Wednesday night on MTV. I'm all about that. Love that show. So a lot of fighters watch that actually. Puna Soriano messaged me the other day and said, "Yo," because I posted something about it on Instagram. He's like, "Oh man, I love that show." So yeah, a lot of fighters are into that too. And apparently Chris Cyborg was offered to go on the show, but she couldn't. But Michelle Waterson was on one of the seasons. I don't know if you knew that.
Really?
MTV The Challenge.
Yeah. I know she was on Fight Girls, like back in the day.
Oh, yeah, back in the day with Brandon Vera's ex-wife.
Yes, Carrie Vera, who had
Carrie Vera, and Gina Carano was on that show too, I think, right?
Yeah, Gina was on it. She had like two fights. Felice Herring was on that show.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, that was an old show, 2006 or something. All those fighters ended up fighting in the UFC, which is amazing. Carrie Vera, actually, James, she was like a killer. I don't know what happened to her. I think she had two fights and then
peaced out. Yeah.
And I should say ex-wife. I'm pretty sure. I don't think they're.
They're not together. I don't know what the story is there. But yeah, that's interesting. I will save that for another day.
Okay. Let me plug my stuff. Obviously you guys can follow me on Twitter at MM Adam Martin. Podcast is two times a week right now, Monday and Friday. Hopefully this ends soon. I can start doing it 5 days a week again. I hope it doesn't get cut down to one day. That would suck, but 2 days. So I'll be back Monday. I think that's the best way to do right now. I'll do Monday and Friday and then have some breaks in between. But, I can't wait to get back to doing it 5 or 6 times a week, James. I really miss, dude, I miss predicting the fights. I miss breaking down the fights. Like, this, it sucks, you know, but gotta make do. You guys can obviously follow me at bjpenn.com. Always writing the news for them. Not a ton of news, obviously, these days, but there's always some stuff going on there. And MMArings.net, Michael got me doing a feature there. So I'm basically going through all the divisions, James, and I'm giving like some dream matchups, like not dream matchups like from all time, but just current. So I don't have to go with the matchups that are booked right now. I can go with like other matchups. So like for the heavyweight division, for instance, like Overeem's supposed to fight Walt Harris. I'd like to see Overeem fight Ciryl Gane because I want to see Gane get that step up in competition. So like that's an example. So I did heavyweight and 205. I'm going to work on flyweight and strawweight today, so I should get those posted this weekend. And that's about it, man. I mean, and then the podcast, obviously, like I said, Monday and Friday. But that's it, James. I really want to thank you again, man, for coming on the show.
Anytime, man. It's a lot of fun.
I gotta get you back on, man. I was just thinking about that time we did that live podcast in Penticton. That was a lot of fun.
That's right. Yeah, for Kareem's wedding. Yeah.
That was McDonald's. I think we stole McDonald's Wi-Fi, right? That was great.
We had to do it. We had to keep up the podcast. That's the type of dedication we had. I don't think people realize that when we did Parting Shot together, just the audio version, we were doing it every week. I think we did that for like 3 years.
Yeah.
How many, we had like an Iron Man streak that I don't think could be beat. Like even Ariel will take a day off every now and then, right? So
I know. I love the Iron Man streak. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. Once again, thanks for everyone who submitted a question. Really appreciate it. And guys, honestly, stay safe. Keep washing your hands. Stay vigilant. Practice social distancing. We'll get through this hopefully soon, guys. Hopefully the MMA schedule resumes shortly. But until then, go back, watch the old cards, play some video games, spend some time with your family if you can, and keep reading our stuff and keep watching James' videos. Guys, thanks again for tuning in. James, appreciate it, man. See you, everyone. Bye.